Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For the better part of two decades, NPR's Planet Money has been on the airwaves and podcast streams to millions of listeners, bringing to light the hidden economic forces that shape our day-to-day lives in digestible and often rather funny hour-long episodes. The show has taken their dedicated audience along with them on outlandish adventures, like launching their own satellite, or that time they crowdfunded a t-shirt so they could follow it around the global supply chain, all in pursuit of answering one question: how do we make the economy fun? Now they've turned their sights onto the publishing world. Earlier this week, they released a book called Planet Money, A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life. Insight producer Andrew Garcia interviewed the author of the book, Alex Mayasi, and fellow Planet Money reporter Kenny Malone.
Alex, when did you know you wanted to write a book?
Quite a while ago. I just thought for a long time that there should be a Planet Money book, and it can be really great, and it should exist in the world. And I'm very, very pleased that Planet Money and the team had the same thought, that they were interested in making a book so we could have a successful marriage here and produce something that I think is really special, especially because there were just so many people contributing ideas, illustrations, smart ways to explain important but sometimes confusing economic concepts. So it was like a dream to get to work with a team to produce a book like this.
I imagine there's a lot of new stories that folks haven't heard before, but it sounds like there's also maybe some of the popular radio stories that listeners may be familiar with that you're able to go even more in depth into the book. What are some of those that have made it in?
Yeah, this is Kenny. This is one of, I think, the most exciting things for us about the opportunity to do a book is that we love the medium of podcasts, obviously. We love the human voice. We love the way that it can create that sort of intimacy. But there's lots of things we can't do. We often make a joke about how hard it is to do charts and graphs on the radio.
Despite the difficulty of turning visuals into audio, that doesn't stop the Planet Money team from getting a little creative. Like this example from Kenny and Sarah Gonzalez about the 2011 Case-Shiller Home Price Index.
There was this incredible graph. I have it right here. It shows the booming and then collapsing home prices. Oh, you can't see this graph on the radio? Oh, problem.
Yeah, but you can take numbers on a graph, turn them into musical notes, and then bring in an opera singer to sing the graph.
I think we've even teased that we should have a jingle for it, like charts on the radio. I don't know. We could maybe that's it. Maybe I just did the jingle. But the idea of a book really opened up the possibilities to take some of the existing stories that we had done and work with an incredible team of illustrators and graphic designers to bring some of those ideas to life as well. And I'll let Alex explain what were some of the most fun to adapt.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like you said, this book, there's a mix of completely original chapters. There are chapters that, you know, might draw from a really great story that came from a Planet Money episode or radio show. Others where they're kind of a mix of puzzle pieces that were coming together to try and explain a really big concept like inflation. To give one example, there is like possibly my favorite Planet Money episode of all time is this brilliant story about Desi Arnaz.
That story that Alex is talking about was reported by Robert Smith and Sonari Glinton. And like many Planet Money stories, this one starts somewhere you might not expect, a barbershop.
And we're all arguing about who the biggest mogul was. Names like Jay-Z and Dr. Dre were floated. And then this Cuban brother schools the entire barbershop. He goes, Dr. Dre makes headphones? I'll tell you what, Desi Arnaz invented television.
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be. Sometimes we quarrel, but then...
This Planet Money episode is about how Desi Arnaz, with Lucille Ball, really invented TV. Like, they didn't just create a great TV show. They created the business model of television. They invented the rerun. They turned television into a gold mine. So that was like a fantastic story that I love. And then I realized, like digging into it, that, you know, with this frame of our book, thinking about A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life, you could really learn from Ricky Ricardo ways to think about your own career as well. And that was something that I could dig into deeper in the book, where there's kind of a little bit more room to explore and pursue different angles. Whereas like radio stories have to stay a little bit more straight and focused.
That's really cool. I just saw a story on like residuals from Seinfeld are still like paying out big money to folks, but at the same time,
that is the world that like Desi Arnaz built. Yeah, yes. Residual.
And it's my understanding that world doesn't exist quite as much anymore as the television industry is changing. But yeah. If only we could have all been on Seinfeld, Andrew. What were we doing then? We messed up.
This book also, I feel like, is a bit of a continuation of like a number of occasionally wild or fairly unique ventures that Planet Money has done in the past, like launching your own satellite.
Stacy.
Robert.
It's launch day.
That's Robert Smith and Stacy Vanek Smith, who over the course of three episodes did indeed take Planet Money to space.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
I don't hear anything.
Vehicle is clear of the tower. UMBIs are disconnected.
Whoa, it's so bright.
Oh my gosh.
What has been some of your favorites of those more creative ways to report on stories? And why do you think they work so well?
I'm totally in the tank for one venture in particular, which is a little superhero known as Microface. His face is normal size. It just has a microphone attached to it.
Today on the show, we are going to figure out how to build a new superhero franchise from the ground up. And who knows, if we do this right, Microface could be bigger and more lucrative than the Hulk.
That is a project that we undertook during sort of the peak of the superhero industrial complex, when Marvel was churning out like the biggest movies in history. We wanted to get in on the action to understand it, really. And so we wanted to launch our own superhero. So we tried to buy one off of Marvel. They wouldn't sell it to us. And so we ended up resurrecting this bizarre Golden Age character that had fallen into the public domain named Microface. That spawned like 7 episodes, eventually including a musical that someone licensed Microface for.
That someone is Kit Goldstein Grant, an award-winning international musical theater composer and librettist. Here's a taste of Microface, the musical.
It's time for Microface. It's time for Microface. The sonic superhero that the world will soon embrace.
And it ran once. We helped produce it once. And then that was the only time. But, honestly, I think what works about those kinds of projects is that they become our, like collectively our project, ours plus the listeners. And we can follow our curiosity into these complex realms where it's just very hard to get footing if you're just talking at a 30,000 foot view about these things. And so once we have skin in the game, once we have a superhero that we need to turn into a comic book character, and we need to turn that into, we need to make licensing deals, like we get to have these concrete interactions with these industries, like oil. We bought oil. We bought barrels of oil once. Like you mentioned, launching a satellite. Once we plus our listeners like sort of have something to hold on to into these complex worlds, it helps make the whole thing physical and tangible in a way that's really effective.
I've noticed that in the lead up to this book's release that Planet Money has been doing a lot of book-related stories, and I'm curious to to learn what some of the most interesting things you've learned through the experience of making this book about the economic forces behind the publishing world.
So there's a 3-part series that we're doing about the making of the Planet Money book and learning about the publishing industry. Like, as we said, one of these examples of us, reporting as we actually engage in a project in the world. The first one focused quite a bit about how, we wrote a proposal for this book and then our agents took it out to publishers. And what you're really hoping for in that process is that there are enough publishers interested in your book that you can set up an auction. And there's a really interesting moment I got to hear about from my editor, Tom, where he was both happy but a little alarmed to learn that in the first stage of the auction, he had put in the highest bid.
Here's Tom Mayer, the editor, and Planet Money reporter Alexi Horowitz-Ghazi to explain more.
Which is both a cool feeling and a scary feeling. Because you're like, we're winning.
Yeah.
But also like, oh my God, did I pay too much?
Yeah.
The fear that Tom is describing here has a name in economics. It's called the winner's curse. The idea is that the winner of an auction will often overpay for something, especially if there's a lot of competition and the object in question is difficult to put a value on.
So that was fun to kind of see. Like, I hadn't even realized that, like, there was a classic economic concept at work happening on the other end as our ultimate publisher and editor. Like, bid on the book.
I feel like Planet Money is so good at finding what look like invisible threads, at least to myself, between what seems like disparate subjects. And it's, of course, those economic forces at play that connect basically everything. Do you ever find that the fine-tuned level of economic perception that you all need to develop to, like, find those stories is hard to turn off at all?
Well, yes. It's not always the most popular thing to do at parties is to shout out Keynes or whatever economic deep cut we might be into. But yeah, it's super hard to turn off. It definitely will reshape your life because once you see the matrix, Andrew, you can't unsee it.
It's not possible.
I didn't say it would be easy, Neo. I just said it would be the truth.
Stop. Let me out.
These are the forces that are moving everything. It's all money. It's all following the money. It's all the rules and laws that go into place to shape the way that these economic forces interact. It definitely explains everything, and it is exhausting. I think I don't know about you, Alex, but I'm going to disagree strongly
with Kenny here. I think this absolutely makes you popular at dinner or conversation.
Okay.
Parties. I think in particular because I have a very strong interest in food. Like that's my next project is like a podcast about food and economics. And
hey, we're here to promote the book, Alex, not your next podcast.
And I love like sharing that part of the reason that Thai food surged in popularity in the United States is that the Thai government made this very conscious decision to promote Thai food all over the world, to make it easier for Thai chefs to get visas in countries like the United States and Australia, to try and work with foreign governments to make it easier to import Thai ingredients to those countries to increase the quality of Thai food. And this was all a strategy to make Thailand better known around the world, more popular, increase tourism, increase the brand of Thailand. Like, I think those details are super fun to see everywhere, and that the kind of matrix goggles make for all these like delightful moments when you can see those kind of like invisible threads, as you put it, or kind of like the machinery in the background.
That is good, Alex. And I would listen to that podcast. Fair enough. Fair point.
So would I. Well, thanks so much for joining me. This is really great.
Andrew, I noticed in your bio that you are a board games enthusiast. Is this true?
Oh, yes, this is true.
Well, listen, if you have not listened to Planet Money Makes a Board Game, that is also a venture that we are undertaking to understand the world of board games. And so I would love if you have a chance to listen. There's three episodes. I would love to hear what you think. I will warn you, if you're a really deep board game geek, we ended up going a little mass market, which I think is a little disappointing for people who love the 2-hour like hardcore game.
Yeah.
But there are reasons, and we explain the reasons. But I would love, if you have time to listen, I would love if you would email me any thoughts.
I would absolutely love to do that. So you will be seeing my email
please do.
In your inbox here shortly. That's very cool. Yeah.
Andrew, thank you so much for having us on. We obviously love talking about this stuff.
And that was Planet Money reporters Alex Mayasi and Kenny Malone being interviewed by Insight producer Andrew Garcia, a lover of board games. Alex is the author of the new book, Planet Money, A Guide to the Economic Forces That Shape Your Life. The book is out now, and we have a link to it on our Insight page. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to email us, we're at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Andrew Garcia, Sarit Lashinsky, and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.